Thank you, Brother Lindsay. Good evening, audience. Sorry of the difficulty of the speaking. Can you hear me? All right, that's fine. God will surely take care of it for us. We try to do what is right. Tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, Brother Lindsay told me to be in for services tomorrow afternoon at 2. That will not interfere with anyone's service thing. Everyone will, their church service, be able to be out and have the service. So, remember that. And then again tomorrow night is regular preaching service, or regular healing service, rather. Tomorrow afternoon is preaching service. And try to come out if you possibly can. We'd sure be glad to have you. How many of you are Christians? Let's see your hand. Oh, isn't that wonderful? About 99% of the people are Christians. I'm glad of that. To know that the biggest part of the audience is already saved and found Jesus dear to their heart. Now, I want to read just a little bit of the word first. My word will fail, but God's word will never fail. Over in the book of Matthew, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 27th verse, you who mark it. And if the Lord willing, tomorrow afternoon, I want to speak on the subject, I never know, but if He's willing, come and see a man who told me all things. All right, in the 27th verse of the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, we read this. And when Jesus had departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying, saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was coming to the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said unto Him, Yea, Lord. Then touched He their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus strictly charged them, saying, See that no man knoweth it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad His fame in all that country. And they went out, and behold, they brought unto Him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. You notice what it was that had the dumb man bound? A devil. I'm quite sure that modern science wouldn't agree with that, but as Christians, we believe what the Bible says. And the dumb, let's see just a moment, pardon me, the 33rd verse again. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He cast out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease, every sickness and every disease among the people. Hebrews says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's God. And now, one of the most wonderful things of God and the Christians, the connection of the fellowship between God and Christians, is that they that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Can you hear me all right down the back? Is it all right? If you can, raise your hands if you can hear back there all right. That's fine. And I'm trying to stand just as close as possible to this microphone. It may give a roar. I do not know. The greatest thing I found in Christian life is letting the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. and his work is marvelous. How many in here has ever been led by the Spirit? Let's see your hand. Oh my, that's wonderful. Led by the Spirit of God. There's no one would lead you to the altar but the Spirit of God. There's no one would bring you here tonight unless it was the Spirit of God. Is that right? He moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Many times in the leading, since I was a little boy, Sunday a week, if we get to stay that long, I wish to tell my life story Sunday a week, the afternoon service, to let you know just what tears and blood have been along the road. Someone might think it's all roses, but that isn't so, friends. Now, many times, the only time that I can ever be able to say anything to people about their diseases and so forth is when being definitely led by the Spirit. I have to let Him do it. If I would say something within myself, it would certainly be a mistake. Many times it confuses me when there's so many. The best way, when I have the patient to myself, individually, talking to them, to contact them personally. But when it's sometimes, when it's in a mixed audience like this, it's kind of hard to feel just what it is and to know what it is, but you have to be very sensitive to Spirit. Now we realize, and everyone knows there is Spirit. That if there's Spirit, there's bound to be a master of that Spirit, because it changes the nature of sinners into Christians. And there's bound to be a master ahead there somewhere, and that's God. And He sent His Son on earth, made in likeness of sinful flesh, and He died that we might be redeemed and brought back to God to be sons and daughters of God, to walk with Him again. That missing link from the Garden of Eden, what Adam lost, Christ restored again. Many times wish we had time to bank up there for a little while to speak, but just have about 8 minutes or 10. I'd just like to give you a few experiences. Just going to open my heart to you, talk to you. There's many times, Christian friends, I guess it won't be much longer. We'll probably be able to have a few more healing services. Now, I'm afraid that services are going to be closed, services like this. We got trouble ahead, and you know it. So we want to put in everything that we can, and probably when we leave here, I may never see many of you again the rest of my life. We may never meet no more. So let's be sincere with each other, and sincere with God, and He'll deal with us while we have this golden opportunity. I'd like to sit down and talk with each of you a day, but I couldn't do that. I couldn't spend my time in prayer seeking for God. But I'll make an appointment with you after we cross the river. I'll spend all the time you want to. We'll just sit down and by the evergreen tree, by the sea of life, and there, talk with each other 1,000 years. Won't it be wonderful? At that time, I'd like to shake your hand and say you remember down in Minneapolis those times when we tried to be together. Just look how it is now. You want to know when I get home why I'm going to try to sing Amazing Grace when I cross the stream. I can't sing, but I've always wanted to sing that song. I believe God will let me do it when I get over there. You have to go before I do, and you hear somebody come out on the porch some morning, hear somebody singing Amazing Grace, you say, Brother Branham got home. That's me. I love the old song, for it's Amazing Grace that saved me, brought me thus far. Many times things happen along in the leading of the Spirit that I don't even mention. Don't say nothing about it. Visions are constantly seen. And I tried to explain to you how that's done. It sees the individual, sees the way they're moving, what they've done in their life, and it just comes just as real as I'm looking at you. I don't believe anybody could doubt that after seeing it work in the meeting, which has never got to its place yet, or the meeting has been, had lots of trouble speaking in a tent. We're new to each other, and it's new here, but I'm very thankful that you're receiving it wonderfully. I can always feel each night look like just more of the momentum of faith rising all the time. I believe that before the meeting closes, if God permits, there's going to be a great sweep like you've never seen before. See how close that is to being right. Notice, sometimes he shows me things and I never speak it. Now right now, since I've been standing here, I see four or five things that's already gone on since I've been speaking here from the microphone. But I do not speak it till I see that something has happened. My manager and them, many times, I know this seems a little strange and kind of hard, maybe, for ministers and so forth to just grasp it right now unless they're very spiritual-minded. But I can only be honest. And here not long ago when we met in England, just for a couple experiences, I was in my room one day and I went in and told my manager, I said, I was sitting in the room and I seen a vision of Satan coming to us. Told him just about how long it would be, somewhere within about 24 hours, and there it happened. One morning I remember getting up, going down into the city, about 5 o'clock, he woke me up, he said, get on your clothes. I went out of the city, I walked about 3 miles. I believe that was in Norway. And I went under a tree by a river, and I prayed till 9 o'clock, from 5 until 9. Then about 9 o'clock, he wouldn't let me go. I know they'd be wondering where I was at when they got to the room, and I wasn't there. So I was praying. I heard his voice say, rise up now. I rose up. Now, it's just not just imagination, friend. His voice is just as audible as mine is to you. Just it's not, when he stands there, it's not just what you just imagine. I hear him when he's walking, look at him, talk to him like you talk to me or I talk to you. It's a being, not just an imagination. Man, I can hear him when he sets his feet down and walks. When he just talks like I do. Oh, he's got a voice that was very humble in one way and then very stern in another. His character is no man could paint that. Looks like if he'd turn the world upside down. Yet he's so meek when you look at him, you'd almost cry. And he said, get up. And I got up and started walking. And I walked about a mile, and I was going by a store that I'd seen the day before. I didn't know what to do, only walk. He said, walk. I thought, I'll just go around this corner. And I got to the corner. He said, turn to your right. I went to the right, two squares, and then said, turn to your left. And just in a split second, I'd seen my interpreter from the night before. I knew something was going to happen because it just kept getting closer and closer. I knew what was going to happen. It was going to be right away. He came up to me and shut my hand. And there he said, Brother Branham, it's something strange. I said, just a moment. I began to tell him. And he looked at me. And when it did, I seen us in a vision standing there when he was translating the night before. I said, you just come from the hospital, haven't you? He said, yes, sir. I said, you had one of your kidneys removed. He said, that's right. Just met him the day before, only things in the platform that night. I said, about 3 or 4 years ago, you were supposed to do something and you did not do it. Isn't that true? He said, that's right. I said, then you had an operation, and since your operation, it went over into the other kidney. Is that right? He said, that's right. I said, last night when I was praying in a congregational prayer, didn't you take your hand and take hold of my coat like that real easy? He just started crying, his hands up in the air. So that's right, Brother Branham. And I asked God last night if that was so, that he would confirm it. And about a half hour ago, he told me, get up and go down on the street. And in just 1 second's time, and I would have missed him. There it was, confirmed of his healing, how God works in mysterious ways. I went up and met Brother Moore, Brother Lindsay and them. We went downtown. He still walked me around just a little, for the Spirit was still anointing. I keep walking lots of times that way because I can't be still then. Went downtown. We stand looking in the window, and I said, Brother Moore, But yeah, I said, now on the road back, there'll be a man with a dark suit on the light hat step out of the building asking me to go pray for his wife. Only I can't do it. He said, when will that happen? I said, sometime this morning. I said, because when the vision came, it's the same morning. And we'd been gone about a half hour. After that, we turned around a corner. Stepping out of a store came a man with a black suit on, a gray hat, tucked his hat on, said, Brother Branham, I'm so glad to meet you. Said, I've got my wife upstairs here. Yes, Brother Moore said, what about that? We went on in, Brother Baxter, the next manager. That afternoon we were walking, went downtown, standing there on the street. I said, I see two women dressed in dark that's coming out of a store. Will stop us pretty shortly, Brother Baxter. And we'd gone just about two squares and was looking in a man's store some pies. And just then, coming out of the same store, came two ladies dressed in black and went up to us and began holding their hands. They couldn't talk English, but wanted a discernment of spirit of what was wrong with them on their hand. Brother Baxter said, those things happen all the time. But I don't mention them, friends, unless it's something that will profit or benefit, something like that. Now, many times that Christians praying, it was a lady sat here last night, had a little baby. Many of you here probably was here last night with a lady I was hunting for as a little baby. You remember that? She had been in prayer about that. And in the room, I saw her. I couldn't make out just what kind of a dress that was, but I seen she had her hair braided and blonde-headed and had a little baby. And the Lord had showed that the baby was to be healed, and the baby was healed before we left the building last evening. Now, it's wonderful. Recently in Fort Wayne, we were having a meeting. How many's ever been? Well, was anybody here at the Fort Wayne meeting? Somebody perhaps? Yes, here's two or three hands is here at the Fort Wayne meeting. Marvelous crowds gathered. B.E. Rediger. How many ever heard of B.E. Rediger years ago? Paul Rader wrote his song, Only Believe. In his meeting there, where Mr. Rediger had some daughters, he's gone on to glory quite a while ago. One of the nation's most outstanding men on divine healing. I just returned from Pensacola, Florida, where I had the largest altar call I ever had. 2,000 at one time gave their hearts to Christ. One altar call. And I just come home, and I entered into a little church that morning. There was packed several hundred around the church. They was trying to get me out, and someone told me, said, a psychopathic case laying back in the coal shed of the church. Said, Mrs. Rediger. I said, Mrs. Rediger, what relation are they to B.E. Rediger? Said, that's his daughter. B.E. Rediger, a warrior of God, resting in glory, and his daughter, a mental case, his other daughter died in the same condition. She had been a mental case in the institution for about 2 years. There she was, her mother trying to hold her, a beautiful young lady, her hair down, sitting back there and just holding her eyes, staring. I walked into where she was. She was going to move back, kind of mumbling her mouth like that, saying something about Penny or something other, and moving back like that. So Miss Rediger looked up, and I said, oh, my, is that Brother Rediger's daughter? Said, it is. I said, dear Lord Jesus, have mercy on the girl, and ask for that power of the enemy to leave the girl. And a moment, she was to herself. And today I got a letter. She's going to be married in August. How glorious. Out of the mental institution. And how glorious it is to find his leading. There in Fort Wayne, they found out what hotel I was staying in. The Indiana Hotel, and the people crowded in their lobby till we had to call one of the bellboys to get us a way to go out and down to the alley over an ash pile to get something to eat. So many people in there crowding in. Then all of a sudden one day we was going down the street. My wife was going down the street. My wife was with me. I had the baby. I had my coat collar up. It was going down the street packing my little girl. We were going down to the place called, I believe, the Hoddle House or Hobble House or something where we were eating. That was where Mr. Eaton of Canada had met there in a room that morning. He'd been to the meeting to be healed of a stomach trouble, and God healed him down the tabernacle a few days later. He wouldn't come to where I was eating that morning. He just paid for my breakfast. The next morning, going down, walking down the street, something said, turn to your left. Mrs. Morgan, 21-year graduate nurse. My first case of cancer, ever felt the vibration. Weighed 37 pounds. Brought into the meeting, just nothing but skin and bones. Weighs 155 now in perfect health. The doctors, the best there was in the nation, sold her. She had just a few days to live. It went all through her. This opened her up and sold her back. Cancer just up to her. Malignant. Nothing could be done. Couldn't even put a knife on her, no one, to operate. Now she weighs 157 pounds in perfect health. She was going along, kind of helped me sometimes with the sick along like that, because she's a very brilliant woman. And we were going down, and something said, turn to your left. I heard it just same as you hear me. I turned to the left. Margie said to my wife, said, what's the matter? I said, now just let him go. I went on down. We went walking down to the left. I stopped in front of a place called Miller's Cafeteria. I wondered why. Something said, go in here. I went in the cafeteria, got some little breakfast and prunes and so forth, and sat down. My wife said, you're sure in a big place like this to get trapped? People gather around, and I started to eat. And as I asked the blessing, I heard somebody say, praise the Lord. I looked over, and a poor old mother was raising up, wiping her eyes. Margie said, you better go. Said, you don't, the whole group. I said, just a moment, is the Holy Spirit leading? She came over there and said, Brother Branham, that I followed meeting after meeting trying to get my brother in the line. I couldn't do it. But his heart got so bad now to push through the diaphragm. Said we was examined a few days ago before coming. Doctor said he just has a little while to live. We sold our cow to get the money to come up here from Texas. So we've been to several meetings. We sold all we got. But I was seen, I couldn't get it. There's too many there. I've had cards several times, but the number's never been called. She said, but I was praying last night, all night and fasting. She said, about daylight this morning, I woke up and I had a dream, and I dreamed that I should come down here to the cafeteria and wait at 9 o'clock. I looked at my watch, it's just exactly 9. They're bringing here. You know what happened, don't you? The Lord marvelously healing, leading of the Spirit. He worked on both ends. Then, going out the door, was just leaving, went out the door about 2 minutes after, didn't eat. And a young lady standing there fell down on the street and began screaming just as went out the door, dressed in black. She lived in Chicago Heights, malignant cancer. Said, Brother Branham, I've been praying for weeks that I could get here. And so it's just got a little while. She'd been to the clinic here, and nothing could be done for her. Her husband was a great businessman there of some sort. And she said, this morning early, that something told me to come to Miller's Cafeteria and stand here at 10 minutes after 9. There it was. I met her in Little Rock here a few weeks ago, just shouting the praises of God perfectly normal and well. Went walking on down the street. The Holy Spirit said, stop here. I told the wife, I said, you all go on. They'll get you in the hotel. She said, well, I'll cross the drugstore there to get some books, colored books that keep the baby in the room all the time. And I stopped and I went back up, looked at some fishing tackle, and I waited just a moment. I said, Father, what is it you would have me do? And I waited a few moments. I heard that voice say, go down to the corner. I went down to the corner, standing at the corner that crossed the street. I went across the street to stand there. You people from Fort Wayne know how they direct the traffic there. And it was on a Saturday morning. And I stood there for quite a while. After a while, I seen a lady crossing the street. The whistle blowed many times. A lady crossing the street holding a pocketbook on her arm, and she's dressed in a checkered suit and a little checkered tam on. She walked. Holy Spirit said, go close to her. I went and stood there. The woman may be in this meeting tonight for all I know. And I stood right there on the corner, and she passed out on by and went by. I thought, that's strange. He never did tell me anything wrong. She walked about the distance that pole. She's looking down, looking sideways. And she turned around, looked back, and said, hold, Brother Branham. She come back, and she started crying, and she said, I'm from Canada. She said, I followed all through Canada. She said, I come over here, it's only allowed so much money. Last night, she said, I slept sitting in a hotel lobby, and this morning I had 1 5 cents for a cup of coffee, but I was going out here to hitchhike home.
but I was just two squares below and the Holy Spirit said, turn to your right. But I went to the right, he said, turn to your left, and I was being led by him, said, turn around and see. He said, Brother Branham, my hands be crippled. I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, give me the hand. And here come the hand straight, a big Irish cop blowing a whistle, said, I know who you are, Brother Branham. While we had a prayer line here on the street in a few moments, it was just everywhere. What is it? Led of the Spirit of God. That's what it is, friend. Recently on my road to Dallas, I hurried quickly. On the road going to Dallas, the plane was grounded. And I thought, oh my. I stayed all night. The next morning, I was going down to put my mail in the box. They told us they'd come pick us up. I was going down the street trying to sing that little old Christian song, the Pentecost folk sing. Glad that I can say I'm one of them. Did you ever hear it? It's people almost everywhere, his hearts all burning with flames as a fire fell on. The Holy Ghost makes us all the same or something like that. And I was trying to sing it, going down the street, my letters in my hand, going walking along down the street. I started across the street. The Holy Spirit said, stop, right in front of a bank, Memphis, Tennessee. I thought, oh my, what's this? I walked over the corner. I said, Father, what would you have me do? I stood still for a few moments because I wasn't thinking about it. I felt that real strange feeling move on me to turn and go right back. And I went right back down past the hotel again, just kept on going down the street, humming to myself. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Going on, went way on down to the other side of Memphis, on down to the colored district. I thought, what am I doing down here? Just led by the Spirit. And I looked, said, cross this way and across over the street, went out on the other side. I was going over there, turned to my right, went up the street this way, all the little whitewashed places there, those colored places where the colored live. And I passed by and I seen a typical old Aunt Jemima with a shirt, man's shirt tied around her head, leaning over the gate. The sun was coming up, roses around the gate, the sun kissing away the fragrance away from the roll, and the air was full of the birds were singing, how glorious. And I had my hand going on like that singing, led of the Spirit. I looked at her as I passed by. She was leaning over the gate. She said, good morning, Parson. Down in the south, it's Parson, you know. I said, good morning, Andy. She wiped the tears from her eyes, began laughing. I said, how'd you know I was a Parson? Do you know me? She said, no, sir. I said, how'd you know I was a Parson? That Parson, did you ever hear about that woman in the Bible, the Shumanite woman? I said, yes. Said, the Lord give her a child? I said, yes. Said, Oz was a woman that was barren, too. And the Lord give me a son. And said, I promised to raise him for the Lord. Said, I've done my best. But said, Parson, he took the road that's wrong. Said, he's a fine young man, and he backslid. And said, he went out with the wrong company. And said, he's laying in here now. Said, the doctors have done to give him all the shots they can. He's been unconscious now for 2 days. A doctor says that he is going to die. It's venereal disease. Said, done give him everything could be given, but it was too late before they caught it, and he is going to die. And said, Parson, well, I knowed him laying there dying, a backslider, but I couldn't stand it. But I prayed and prayed, and I said, Lord, you gave me the boy, but where is Elisha at? So said, I prayed and I prayed, and said, this morning, a little 4 days, said, the Lord told me to come out here and stand at this gate. And her back was wet with dew. But I just stood here because, said, I believe in the leading of the Spirit. Oh, my. There is where God and believer meets together on common grounds of faith. She said that he told me to stand here, and said, the sun came up. But I just kept waiting. When you come down the street, said, I knowed you as the Parson. I said, my name is Branham. She told me what her name was. I said, did you ever hear my services? No, Sir Parson. I told her about it, and the tears again run down her cheeks. Said, I know the Lord wouldn't fail me. We went into the room. There laid a fine, big boy laying there, about 160 or 70 pounds, a picture of health. The blankets gathered in his hands like this, going, And she walked over and patted him on the cheek. She said, mammy's baby, might be old as he was, but you know there's a mother's love. You're always mama's baby. You know that mother's love, no matter what you do, it's never forgotten. Mother's love. So she patted him on the cheek, said, mama's baby. And I took a hold of his feet. His feet was cold. Thought, oh, my's dying. I said, Auntie, he's in awful bad shape. Said, yes, the pops. And the doctor said he'd never gain consciousness no more. I held his feet and I said, shall we pray? She said, yes, Parson. She knelt down on the floor and she began praying. I tell you, that old saint prayed a prayer that you know she's talking to God to. And when she got through praying, she said, thank you, dear Lord. I walked over to where he was at, looked at him a little bit, and I laid my hands over on him. I said, dear God, I don't know why you led me down here. My plane's ready to leave now. But I said, I don't know why you led me here, but I just come by the leading. And now in the name of your son, Jesus, I lay hands upon this dying boy for his life, for his soul to be saved. I said, Mammy, oh, Mammy. She said, he's talking, Parson. Hadn't talked for 2 days. I said, Mammy, it's getting light. I said, it's getting light in here, Mammy. I see where my boats are going now. A few minutes he was on the floor rejoicing, happy. About a week later I got a letter from him. The doctor's pronouncing negative. He's living tonight in Memphis, Tennessee, healthy and strong, because that his dear old mother followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. Those that are sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. Isn't that right? Let us bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, oh, you've been so good to us. Time gets away so easy when we're talking about Jesus, talking about his wonderful works. Here in the earth today, he said, a little while, the world will see me no more. The world doesn't understand. They're blinded by the God of this world, walking in darkness in their own way, in their own sinful lust. But we thank thee. Thou hast said, I'll be with you, even in you, unto the end of the world. Tonight, wherever you can find a sincere heart, you'll lead them by your Spirit. Oh, God, this Saturday night when many people are shopping, many are out, roadhouses, places of ill fame, young boys laying on the barroom floor, young girls, the road that's wrong, dancing their way to a Christless grave, and the old mother's prayers right over the top of them. Oh, Master, somehow lead those people tonight. Speak to them, and may they find a place tomorrow at a good old-fashioned altar to become your servant. Lord, may the results of this meeting be an old-fashioned revival breakout that'll sweep plumb through the cities and the nations. For we believe that soon you shall send Jesus. Gather us together. There's many here tonight, Father, that's sick and needy. I feel your Spirit now. We all know that you're here. You said, wherever two or three are gathered, I'll be in their midst. And we feel you, literally, with spiritual feeling. We know that you're here. And now, Father, as I have testified to these people concerning a divine gift, they only have my word lest you speak, Lord. But I know that you'll speak. Vindicate it, testify of it. And all praise and glory is to thee, thou marvelous Son of God. You're so wonderful to redeem us, us poor lost sinners, worthy of death and separation, worthy of hell. But thou hast redeemed us. Oh, how my heart jumps when I think that I'm redeemed, and just as sure as you raise the grave, someday we shall come forth with a new body. It'll never be sick no more or suffer. Now, dear God, bless tonight those who are here. May the Holy Spirit just move right out over this audience now. Speak to every one of them and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth. His Spirit moving with us tonight. May they sweetly accept it in the form of the Holy Spirit and be saved and healed tonight. For we ask it in the name of thy Son, Jesus. Amen. I do. It's just, I'm not a very emotional type person, but my heart's been strangely warm since I'm coming here tonight. For some cause, I don't know why. I trust that God will pour out His Spirit yet tonight over all the audience. And tomorrow, I pray there'll be one gleaming light of God around this little place. Oh, people, fast and pray. Get ready. Jesus is coming soon. I believe it. Be ready. What's it going to profit you if we should gain all the world, then lose our soul? What good would it do us? No good at all. Let's serve Him with all of our hearts. While we're lining up the audience, let's pray again just a moment. Father, come near now. Abide with us, Jesus. Bless us tonight. There's those of your soul looking so anxiously, and it's seemingly that just a little extra blessing is on us tonight somehow, or just around near. Maybe you're just fixing to pour out the Spirit upon us. We pray that it will be, Father. Heal all. Now, the angel of God that you sent to me at my birth, guiding me down through life by your hand. He who meets and talks and shows the visions that I speak of. Oh, Jesus, send him now in thy name, that he might be able to discern the gift of discernment, to know the heart. Said, the things that I do, these shall you do also, and greater. You knew the heart of all people. You knew all diseases. You told Philip where he was at before he came to the prayer line. You told him where to find the horses tied. You told him where an empty room was to make ready the Last Supper. Oh, you told the woman of her sins. And then one day they tied a rag around your eyes, pulled beard out of your face, and spit on you, said, now prophesy and say, who spoke? Lord, you never opened your mouth. We're thankful for your wonderful life, for the Spirit that you have given us to live by. Help us now. And may every disease that passes this away, may great visions and wonders be done tonight. Grant it, Lord. And as the people see these things done, may they accept thee right then. In the name of thy Son, Jesus. Amen.